Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Monday edition of the program, Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you and small enough to care. Got a good show lined up for you. We got JC here. We're going to have Scott Carter, who was in Fort Worth for the National Championship Gymnastics meet, which we can discuss that. I have some thoughts on that. Not that it really matters if anybody cares about my thoughts. But I won't give them to you anyway. A lot of stuff happening with Gator related. Baseball loses a series, at least gets one game up in Nashville against the Commodores. Softball sweeps Ole Miss in Oxford. And I don't know if you saw this or not. I watched some of it yesterday after church and all those stuff. They had weather delays. JC, good morning. You're on the Titan MR hotline. How are you?
Oh, good. Yes. What did you see after church there, QB?
Well, it was before church and after church because they had weather delays. I watched the SEC Women's Golf Championship at Greystone up in Birmingham. The Lady Gators were playing the Lady Tigers of LSU. LSU won the match. First, this was shocking to me. First time LSU's won a women's golf championship in 30 years. That's a long time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We missed so many short putts, I can't tell you. But Steve Melnick was on the call with Peter Burns and Taylor Zarzar.
Yeah.
And Steve Melnick, great Gator. I couldn't agree more with what he said. Our girls were the – well, not just our girls. All the girls in this tournament were the slowest playing participants. He even just called them out and said, they need to speed up, do something about women's golf. And – I mean, they weren't giving putts that were inside a foot. It was ridiculous. But this one girl, here's the other thing, JC. Out of the 10 girls playing, each team has five teams. Only two Americans playing. Everybody else was from overseas. But this one girl from LSU, she averaged 16 to 18 waggles before every time she pulled the trigger.
That's bad. That's bad.
But anyway, congratulations to the Lady Gators. Had a good year. They were the five seed going in and to make it to the finals. But, boy, did they miss some short putts. It was nerve-wracking. For sure.
You know, and that gymnastics thing bothered me because I don't know how Trinity Thomas wins overall, wins two or three apparatus, something like that. They end up losing to Oklahoma, who had a bad – one of their rotations went really sour.
And their first one. I watched the entire meet, JC. I'm a diehard fan.
Sure.
And here's the deal.
Okay.
I don't understand the scoring when it comes. Florida was the more consistent team the entire day. And as you said, Oklahoma started on the floor routine, and they had a couple girls step out of bounds. But I will say this on behalf of the Oklahoma Sooners, from that point forward to the next three apparatuses.
Yeah, they were good.
Those girls stuck. I mean, when I say they stuck every landing, there wasn't a small movement. It was unbelievable. But I still felt like Florida was the more consistent. And, again, I don't understand the scoring and stuff. So, it was a heck – it just blows my mind with the four different events going on and all the hooping and hollering. And then, you know, when a girl is on the balance beam and then somebody does one of the bars, you know, does a double layout, whatever, sticks it, and the crowd goes crazy. How that doesn't affect that girl on the beam, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, beam is the hardest for sure, and it takes the most, I would think, anyway, the most focus. Yeah, QB, it's also a weekend of rainy scrimmage games, or whatever you want to call them.
Spring game.
Yeah, spring games. Lots of rain affecting it, and I saw where the ESPN's – what does FBI mean? Football Power Index or something? What does that mean? Yeah. So the football. So some
analytics.
Yeah. So some of these. So they have a top 25 ranking, a preseason top 25 ranking, and the Florida Gators actually made the 25th number. But conspicuously, I did not see Arkansas or Tennessee in those rankings. They had Alabama, Georgia, Auburn. Auburn was 10. LSU was 11. And then Texas A&M was 14. Mississippi was 17. Kentucky, 20. Mississippi State, 24. Florida, 25. And no Arkansas or Tennessee. So that was kind of weird.
That is very strange because
I don't see Auburn or LSU.
The early predictions of the so-called experts in the conference have Georgia, Tennessee, and Kentucky ahead of Florida in the East. So, I don't know what any of that means, quite honestly.
I don't either. Just thought I'd bring it up. It's not important, but I don't know why I thought to bring it up. I just found it like that's the ESPN. That's not just, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry's preseason.
Did they have Texas on that and OU?
No, I guess they're going to play Big 12 schedules this year.
In your top 25 in that FPI, there was no Texas or Oklahoma.
Oh, no. These were just SEC teams, current SEC teams.
Well, because I've seen some top 10 predictions, Texas is like in every one of them, and I don't buy that. I don't get it.
I see that, too. I guess they're Hudson Card? What's his name? Who's the quarterback there? That's Sarkisian's going to – I don't know. Texas is – I'm one of those – I'll believe it when I see it on Texas.
But you were all on Texas last year.
Hey, you know what? I am on the Texas golf right now. Their alumni has gone back-to-back in golf. And, you know, he missed a one-footer, Jordan Spieth I'm talking about, on Saturday and got over it by birdieing that same hole on Sunday and then winning in the playoff with just an amazing shot out of the bunker. So he scuffs his tee shot. He comes up short with a 6-iron. Hits a wedge shot that was literally almost up against the hill to about 6 inches, and that was enough to win. But they've gone back to back, so Georgia may have.
But his bunker shot was so much easier.
It was
than Patrick Cantlay's.
Sure,
it wasn't even close.
No, I know, but you still got the. I mean, it was that far from the slope of the hill, but Texas has gone. You know, Georgia may have all the golfers, but Texas has the winners right now in golf alumni. So. But, sooner they can get OU and Texas into the SEC, it sure would be nice. And I don't know what we're talking about here. I don't know how much longer that's going to take, but it definitely won't happen this season or maybe even next. So,
Donnie says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mountain Law, OU's last beam exercise was not enough to secure the win. Florida was solid throughout. Florida was very solid. But as I said, I'm no gymnastics expert. All I know is from the bars, the what do they call the thing? The where they run and they jump. What is it called?
That's the vault.
And the bounce. They stuck every landing. I still thought Florida, as you said, they had no mistakes.
And Thomas was the best gymnast in the building. Okay, she was the best. In fact, she was the best gymnast for the whole tournament. She was the best gymnast in the building against Oklahoma, and she won what, 3 apparatus? I mean, I don't know
if she won. She didn't win 3 apparatuses, did she?
She won all around, and then she hit. She won. I thought she won 2 more. Maybe somebody correct me, but it doesn't matter.
I don't think that's correct. I could be wrong. Dan must not be on the show today because he's our gymnastics expert. John says here on Facebook
Ask
Live.
Ask Scott Carter. He'll tell you.
He was there. QB, have you seen the rules in the USFL, the chance to go for 3 after a TD instead of an onside kick, you could elect to do a running play on 4th and 12?
Yes.
The onside kick is something that they've been talking about in the NFL for a long time because you could do like a – go for a 4th and 12. It doesn't have to be a running play. It can be any kind of play.
Any play, yeah.
Because you got a better chance of converting 4th and 12 than getting an onside kick. I watched a little bit of the USFL. It's interesting. I don't mind football. I know a lot of people – you know, the only problem, and I know why they're doing it, is all the games are being played in Birmingham. So the game, if you saw Saturday night between Birmingham and the New Jersey Generals, they had a good crowd.
Yes.
Well, then they played two games yesterday. We're supposed to play three, but one of the games got weather delayed to today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's like eight people in the stands because Birmingham's not playing. So, yeah. You know, anyway, here's what I would say. And I would ask our listeners. I know a lot of people don't want to see spring football. I think it's good. Look, would you take $4,500 a week to play football for 10 weeks? And then if your team wins, you get an extra $850. That's what they're getting paid.
Yeah, and absolutely would. Plus the exposure, you know, that could be invaluable if somebody's season says, you know what, let's invite him to spring training or, you know, summer camp, whatever it is. But, yeah, we didn't even mention the USFL starting on Friday. I guess it both slipped our minds. But, you know, Larry Fedora, there's some names in this deal. I mean, they've got some real names involved in this. Larry Fedora. You got Skip Holtz. You got that Riley guy. He used to coach Nebraska and Oregon State. Mike Riley, San Diego Chargers. So there's good representation. And I think it was Dwayne Johnson. Didn't he fund this?
No, he's the XFL.
He's the XFL. Okay. So
the XFL has a deal with the NFL. They start in 2023. They have a lot of big name guys as their coaches too. They start next spring, but they have a deal with the NFL for them to send their practice squad players to teams. So we'll see. You know, I have no problem with these kids playing football.
That's exposure.
Yeah. Where else are you going to make $50,000 or $60,000 in, two and a half months?
And get people to put eyes on you, right? I mean, that's a no-lose situation for somebody who needs to do something like that, who doesn't have something else to do. So
G says here on Facebook Live, Shane, have you heard about the elite recruits wanting money just to come visit your school? I've not heard that, but it would not surprise me. Like I've told you since day one of this NIL deal, it's a disaster. And I will argue with anybody on any given day about it. I think it's ridiculous. It's getting worse.
Well, it's turning into pay-for-play, QB.
Well, that's what I said from the get-go, and it's not right. So, and also we got here, who just sent me a Facebook Live? This is from Javier. He says, Will Anderson can't be blocked. No, he cannot. They threw him out of the game.
Yeah, they did.
Because nobody could block him.
And, you know, the couple of takes I took from that game was, nobody can contain Will Anderson. The other guy on the other side is a guy named Dallas Turner. He's really good. Defense was way ahead of offense in the Alabama game, if anybody cares. And they had probably the smallest crowd in the 16 years he's been, you know, however many years he's been there, because I think the weather had a big factor in that.
Well, nobody wants to go sit in rain and watch a damn spring game.
Not exactly, yeah.
I don't even know if you could pay recruits to do that.
That's bad. That's a bad plan. And plus, you got Easter weekend. A lot of folks didn't want to travel or drive down to Tuscaloosa on a Saturday with Easter on Sunday. So, but fine, whatever the case may be, they're going to be really good on defense. Look out for that team on defense with all the transfers they got out of the portal. That team's going to be really hard to score on.
Yeah, I read somewhere, I can't remember who it was. It was one of these analysts said they watched the spring game against Alabama, and they are convinced that Alabama will win the national title. John says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melo, Blaine Gabbert got a job when he was playing for Spurry during whatever league that was. No, Blaine didn't play for him. Blaine's never been in any of those leagues. He's been in the NFL his whole time. You're thinking of Garrett Gilbert.
Yes. He was the quarterback of the, what were they called? The era, the
Apollos.
Apollos. That's right. Garrett Gilbert from Texas.
All right, JC, here's a question for you from Andy. Because you're a TV guy. That's your past. He wants to know, he doesn't get why the USFL games are on both Fox and NBC.
You know, I asked that question too, Andy. That's a great question. And there is obviously an answer, but maybe they just split the rights fees. I'm not sure. It's a great question. I saw that too, Fox and NBC.
Both they have people from both networks working and calling those games. So I don't know the answer to that either. Ruzoger State Farm Office is a team of dedicated insurance professionals ready to help life go right with the right insurance options for you and your family. Visit ogreinsurance.com and give them a call at 352-240-1779. Speaking with JC on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, we'll have Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com join us, get his thoughts. He was in Fort Worth at the national championship meet and get his thoughts there. We got a text on the Titan Tomorrow text line. I think this is from Donnie. Says there is no downside to these players getting an opportunity to play football, be seen, and make money. I guess he's referring to the USFL.
Yeah, right. Yep. No downside.
It's going to be interesting to see when you got the USFL and the XFL both going next spring, how that pans out. Because, like I said, the difference, if I'm not mistaken, is the XFL has the quote backing of the NFL by allowing practice players to get experience and actually play. So we'll see.
QB, did you watch any of the did you look at any of that baseball up there in Vanderbilt?
I watched a lot of it.
So, you know, obviously the late inning issues were the problem for Florida. Hitting, I mean, Raiopel was just tremendous. And you know
where he's a transfer from, JC?
Where?
I guess.
You told me. Yes, you did.
They've won a national championship in baseball.
Oh, okay. Then that would be just tell me.
he's a Chanticleer.
Yeah, yeah.
Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, you know, and let me tell you, when you walk a guy to put the winning run at the plate, that tells you something right there, and that's what Vanderbilt did. That's what I was going to bring up was in the middle game of the series, he had three home runs. He comes up to the plate as the tying run, and they walked him to get to somebody else, which was essentially putting not the winning run, but the go-ahead run at the plate. That right there, folks, is respect. This guy was all over the map hitting the baseball. And Vandy's a good team, but they're not as good as they've been in the past, and certainly Florida's issues are in the bullpen. I mean,
here's what's amazing to me, because I watched a lot of TV this week, and I was flipping around.
Yeah,
the SEC is so strong in softball and baseball, it's crazy. When was the last time that, like, Florida, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, even Ole Miss and Mississippi State have been number one in the country at one point this season? And I don't think either one of them are ranked now. It's crazy.
They're middle-of-the-road records right now. Their records are very, very pedestrian.
That's what I'm saying. Same way with Florida. Florida has a losing record in the league. I think Vanderbilt has a losing record in the league, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. You know, your A&M, I saw they beat Georgia, who's ranked like 12th in America. A&M beat them like 24-9.
And the team that lost 2 of 3 to Florida last week swept LSU, you know, at home, Arkansas. So Tennessee got their first loss, and it got chippy with Alabama. There was some absolute issues there. And then the coach for Tennessee hits the umpire. I don't know if you saw that.
I did. He bumped him.
Just bumped into him after he was tossed, you know. And then I heard that on Twitter, of course, take that for what it's worth, but Danny White really got into it with Vitellio or whatever his name is. And, you know, he's the reason – this guy Vitellio is the reason Tennessee is so good right now as their head coach. And Danny White didn't like that. But right now Tennessee is the leader of the conference. So they've got one loss, just one.
I think they're number one in America.
Yeah, so they're and it's really amazing how they've kind of separated in a league that is so kind of congested in the middle there with everybody. I'd say Arkansas is probably the second best team, but that's just on the record because look, Florida beat them 2 out of 3 last week. Anything can happen on these weekends, man. Anything.
Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, the Vols are rolling into town this weekend.
You're going to see that.
So John says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Melon, Florida, Vandy, South Carolina, LSU, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss all have losing records in the SEC.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, in the SEC. Now, overall, they don't, but in the SEC, they have losing records. That is a fact. Yeah.
All right. So, this is Devin says, wait, did JC watch the Alabama spring game? He says he doesn't watch any spring games.
Well, I saw a picture, and the answer is no, I didn't watch it, but I saw a picture of the crowd, or the lack thereof, and then I read about it, some of the things that happened on the field. The running back Gibbs from Georgia Tech had a long one. He's going to be the real deal for them. And again, defensively, they are like they are difficult to deal with.
All right, we got a Facebook Live from Rick here. Here's what Rick says. If I can pull it up, I'm having issues with this thing today. Why is it? Okay, here we go. Rick says, NIL solution could be to pay by games played under a contract. Sign player X for $1 million with contract. $1,000 signing bonus and only amount guaranteed. The remaining paid after each game played over a three-year period. If X transfers, he could not play the next year. And if he is paid NIL by new team, there would be a repayment clause to the old school for a predetermined amount. If X goes pro, there would be a buyout clause too. Yeah, here's my deal. How about let's not pay any of them and just let them get car deals and sign autographs and not do any of this nonsense about X amount of dollars to come play at our university?
Yeah, well, look, I think he's right on the contractual issue. If that's how it's going to go, you have to bring some sort of stuff.
But here's the thing. What people forget, the NIL has nothing to do with that institution.
Yeah.
The University of Florida has no contract. If a player does sign a contract with Company X, the school has nothing to do with that contract.
But this is happening, and when you've got potentially, and I believe this to be the case, $90 million per school about to hit these schools in the next TV contract, then you are going to have some sort of contractual obligations to make.
But JC,
you have plenty of money to take care of.
But that money, a school cannot pay
not
a
today.
Player.
That's right. Not today. But just think, QB, this is very fluid.
That ain't gonna happen.
You say that, and look at what's happening today. You said, 3 years ago, we never believed what we're seeing with these recruits, whether it's private money or through the school. You never would have believed this, and here it is. And once it comes out, you can't take it away. It's not.
There is no way. There is no way that the schools are going to be stroking checks to players. That will never happen.
They're getting a lot of money.
That money's going to be used for facilities.
Well, listen, the labor is part of the business, and the labor is going to get paid. That's just the way it's going to be. Supreme Court said it. I mean, you can say it's not ever going to happen. It's going to happen.
It ain't going to happen. I can promise you that ain't going to happen.
Okay.
Rick says, speaking of car deals, was AR-15 driving a dealer's car when he was ticketed over 100 miles an hour? Yes, he was. He was driving a Dodge.
Forget about the 105 miles an hour. Those cars go – they're so engineered so well that you can sometimes be going 105 miles an hour and not even really feel it. What I'm worried about or thinking of is, why is he up at 4 a.m. driving down at Newberry Road? What's going on at 4 a.m., dude? I mean, what are you doing out there? What are you doing out there at 4 a.m.? Nothing happens. Let me tell you what could have happened at 4 a.m. So it's just you gotta think. You're about to be the starting quarterback for the Florida Gators. Your ass doesn't need to be driving a car on Newberry Road at 4 a.m. Use your judgment. You're going to be the starting quarterback in Florida so far, and you got to be smarter than that. 4 a.m.? Really? 4 a.m.? I don't want to hear it.
Maybe he fell asleep at somebody's house, and he wanted to go sleep in his own bed, so he was in a hurry to get home. I don't know. He will make better decisions. I mean, Coach Napier, and they've already set him down and done all that. It's just amazing to me how stories like this – I mean, you used to be a reporter, JC. You used to want to break news. Why does it take so long for it to come out?
Well, here's the thing. It's not really a story because no one got hurt. What he does on his own time is his business, but it's just bad judgment being out at 4 a.m. for anything. And maybe he wanted to go home. Whatever. 4 a.m.? You couldn't wait till 6 or 7 or 8 when it's light outside, maybe? I mean, come on. That's just a bad decision. All right? It's a bad decision. Yeah. Cops are lurking around everywhere, and they found one. So.
Text on Titan Mar text line, in 2 or 3 years, we will know what damage has been done by the NIL. By that time, it will be too late. There's already been some damage done, in my opinion, and you will not ever convince me it's a good thing for college athletics. There you have it. All right, JC, I got a trivia question for you. It'll be a trivia question Monday here, if I can pull it up. I thought this was kind of interesting. Let me find it here. Don't forget, folks, we're going to have Scott Carter on. Oh, somebody had it. First of all, before I get to that, a Facebook Live here a few minutes ago about Stetson Bennett threw a couple interceptions. Look out. Look, folks, I don't care if Stetson Bennett threw seven interceptions. He is the starting quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs, and it ain't changing. He is clearly the best player there. I don't care how many five stars are sitting in the room. I don't care what those five stars, Carson Beck, Vander Groff, and all those guys, they ain't going to be the quarterback. Again, he has things that you can't teach. Blows my mind. All right. Give me the top five schools in America last year that had the highest pass percentages in the year.
I'd say Alabama's one of them. I would say Ohio State.
Nope.
Really? They had the two best quarterbacks, QB, so naturally that's what I'm going to guess.
But it's the highest pass percentage of their in their offense. The highest pass percentage.
Okay. Well, I'm 0-2 on what I thought was pretty obvious.
Okay. Number one team in America with the highest pass percentage are your Mississippi State Bulldogs at 73%.
Kentucky. Not pass completion percentage, just passing the football. Okay.
Kentucky was 67. Yeah. This is the one that blew my mind. Virginia at 65%. Nevada at 64, Arkansas State at
63. Okay, it's still too early. I'm thinking you're talking about completion percentage, and you're just saying the teams that threw the ball the most. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I would have absolutely guessed Mississippi State. I think that's pretty obvious, right? And that kid's coming back this year, is he not?
Yeah, he's only like a sophomore.
Yeah, so they're going to have him for two more years, maybe three. And certainly Western Kentucky was all over the air, and I can see the – and who were the other two? You said Nevada and someone else. So, yeah, that I can see that for sure. Virginia, yeah, Virginia Cavaliers score a lot of points.
They do?
Bronco Mendenhall scored 50 – you look at their average scoring per game, dude. They did not stop scoring. They couldn't stop anybody, but they were – hard to stop. Bronco Mendenhall over there at Virginia, QB.
Andy says Arch Manning will continue that great passing tradition at UVA. No, he's not going there. Okay, JC, what is today's date? The 18th of April.
Yeah.
Your school's in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think Arch Manning signs in he'll be early signing period, whenever that is. What is that, in December?
You know, that's so hard because I know
exactly where he's going.
Well, then, since you know, why don't you tell us?
He's going to be a Georgia Bulldog.
Georgia Bulldog.
That is my prediction.
Well, I can see that. I don't know if Bill O'Brien's going to stay at Alabama after this season. So that's a tough one. See, that would be tough because, you know, these guys talk to the quarterback coaches and the OCs more than they do the head coach, right? So I think Alabama's kind of shaky there because I don't think Bill O'Brien will be there after this year once the quarterback leaves. So, I agree with Georgia. Yeah, I think that's
Do you even know who Georgia's offense coordinator is?
Well, it was he left.
No, so he's still there, Todd Monken.
Todd Monken, sure.
John says Bronco Mendenhall is no longer the coach at Virginia.
At Virginia, he's not? I thought he was. Maybe he left after last season. He was last season, and that's what we're talking about. But Clemson, I think, would be a school I would look at hard too.
Already taken him off the list. It's basically a three-man race right now.
Yeah,
it's Alabama, Georgia, and Texas.
Oh, Texas, sorry. Yeah, mm-hmm. Makes sense.
All right, we got a text on the Titan Mark text line from Jimmy. Jimmy says, "Please ask JC if he's ever driven a car 105 miles an hour."
I have, and I hated it. But, you know, I'm older. I'm a lot older, dude. I'm not 20 years old anymore. And I think back then that wouldn't have been a problem. But I have. I've been in a Camaro, SS Camaro, and a Corvette that's gone to about 115, and I couldn't take it after that.
Were you on a two-lane road, or were you on an
I-10? No, I was on I-10, and I took the Camaro because I had to pass a bunch of trucks. Because the car was merging onto the highway, and I just blasted it. And then on the Corvette, I've done a Corvette about 120, and that's even scarier because of how low it rides. And that's good. That's real exciting for about 10 seconds. And then I'm done with the excitement. I'm not a race car driver. But I like
JC. For our Virginia Cavalier update, Lauren tells us Tony Elliott is now the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers.
Okay, so Bronco left last year. All right, fair. But last year when they were scoring all those points, I'm just about certain he was their coach. But good for Tony Elliott. Where did Bronco go, QB? You have no idea, do you?
I think he retired. I don't really know.
Okay, don't know. Well, I do know that BYU is paying their walk-ons, and that means they can have 100 guys out there on the sideline. So just know this, dude. It's happening.
But you can't dress 100 in a conference game.
Yeah. They have yet to play in a conference. They are soon to join the Big 12.
All right, JC. Good stuff.
All right. Celtics last night over the Nets. I'm going to Boston Friday, by the way. I'll do the show from Boston. We've got Celtics basketball. We've got Bruins hockey. And hopefully JetBlue won't cancel my flights, or I may be stuck in Boston for a while. So it's beautiful weather. It'll be clear. I'll be going to the TD Bank Garden. I'm ready. Celtics in the playoffs, Bruins in the hockey playoffs, and Lightning. There you have it. That's my
– That's JC. Join us on the Titan Memorial Hotline. Right. I'm going to take a timeout, come back. We'll be joined by FloridaGators.com senior writer Scott Carter talking about – the gymnastics team, and much other Gator stuff. You're watching and listening to Pot Up Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration, live pain-free. South State Bank, Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Silverback Concrete Company. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studio. Celebration points where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Dave & Buster's, Bass Pro Shops, Hotel Indigo, Medici's Escape Apology, Kilwin's, and the HBC's restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, where you can get 50% off a bottle of wine every Wednesday. We'll see you at Celebration Point where the Gators go to celebrate. We're going to be joined by now the senior writer for FloridaGators.com. I'm just thinking of this guy. He goes to Spurrier's every Wednesday night so he can get 50% off a bottle of wine. Scott Carter, good morning. How are you, my man?
Hey, Shane. What's going on, man? Yeah, I need to start taking that offer up. You know, especially I'm wearing his T-shirt today, man. Look at that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Gators, so you being an employee there, I bet you get a bigger discount than 50% off. You know, he's right down the hallway there.
Well, I don't know. I need to check in on that because a couple of times I haven't got a discount. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I wanted to get you on because I know you were out at Fort Worth for the national championship meet. Like I said, I watched it. We had a lot of people who already comment on it. Judging in that thing is just controversial. Like I told people, I was like, Florida was the most consistent team all day Saturday, in my opinion. And Trinity Thomas was outstanding as usual. Oklahoma out of bounds a couple of times or whatever they call it on the floor exercise. But then they were like flawless the rest of the day. How did you see it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was moments there where the Gators, to me, just at the start, Shane, they just, you could tell they weren't quite on point early on the vault. They could do better on the vault. I kind of thought that set the tone for them. And you're right, Oklahoma started on the floor, and that was their weakest event of the day, and they really just performed so well, especially in the middle of it there on the bars and the dirt vault. And, you know, Trinity Thomas did everything she could. I mean, she was the best gymnast at the meet as a whole. I mean, she was outstanding. But I think really it's just, you know, Jenny Rowland said it, just talking to her a little bit after the meet. You know, it was, they were good. The Gators were really good, but they could have been a little bit better. But she said, you know, it was still stunning what they did over a 198, which is, you know, in college gymnastics, if you hit that 198 score as a team, you're doing it right. But Oklahoma was just a little bit better. You know, there's always going to be controversies with judging. I mean, there were some judging calls in there where I thought, I kind of raised my eyebrow here and there. But I don't know if I've ever been to gymnastics meet yet, Shane, that's not the case. But when it's the national championship, it certainly gets magnified. And again, if they met again today and did it all over again, I seriously think the Gators could easily win if they start better. It's just unfortunate. It's one of those sports. It's not like a 2 out of 3 or, you know, 4 out of 7. And you got to do it on the day it's scheduled. But a great season by Florida. But, yeah, I went out there thinking that this was going to be their year because they've been so good all year. And they had beaten Oklahoma here back in February. And, you know, you could look at that one. And I thought there were some probably – favorable judging, you know, in high scores for the Gators in that one, but they won, and it just balanced out this time. So, but like I said, a great season, disappointing.
Yeah. Speaking of it, I mean, they had a ton of seniors on this squad. I know Oklahoma's a very young team. What are they looking down the road? Obviously, it's a great gymnastics program here. But does she feel good about the young girls in the program and the ones coming in?
Oh yeah, yeah, they're really stacked. I mean, they're losing obviously two key veterans in Elisa Bauman and Megan Skaggs. But you know, the senior Shane that they have, who still have an extra year of eligibility due to COVID, you know, Trinity Thomas, Nia Reed, that group. I mean, as of now, I think they're expecting those girls back, although, you know, they'll make their own public comments and announce it. But, you know, if they get all those performers back, you mix in, like, the freshman Leanne Wong this year, who came on really good. She's going to be excellent here. And they've got one, Morgan Hurd, who was injured this year. She was a former world champion. So, I mean, it's just interesting. I was talking to some people from ESPN out at the meet. And, I mean, this sport, and we probably talked about it on this show, this sport is just primed to continue to grow. It's a great TV product, and now you have all these Olympians who are getting into it after their big stage on the Olympics, and it's making the sport so much better as a whole, and you see these events play out like Saturday. I mean, that thing was so close, and I'm not the best with fractions, Shane, so it's hard for me to keep up some there. Like, okay, what do they need here? I have to rely on Mary Howard for some of my judgment on what do they have a chance or not. But it's kind of fun. It's tense in the building for those 2 hours.
It's so damn nerve-wracking, I ain't gonna lie. John says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, Scott, if you are at the meet, are you only able to watch one rotation, or are you able to watch all four at the same time? So, like you were there Saturday, were you just basically focusing on the Gators?
I mean, when they were performing, I was certainly watching them. But there's downtime, you know, when they're preparing for their next meet where you watch another event or something. But, yeah, I mean, there's four going on at one time. Now, that arena out there, I'm going to – anyone who's never been to Dickey's Arena, that place is that's a great arena. It's only 2 or 3 years old. And they have this huge big screen, jumbotron, whatever you want to call it. And they break them up into almost like, what is it, PIP at home if you're sitting there. But, you know, So you, and it's so big, it feels like you know, you can watch and really see what's happening on all four. But I generally just, you know, keep my eye on the Gators to get an idea of how it's going for them.
Scott, what's fascinating to me about gymnastics, and I've been to a few meets, I'm not going to sit here and act like I go to all of them, and I watch as much as I can on TV. But I'm sure you've done stories on this. I'm sure you've gone to their practices. It just amazes me that whatever girl is on the balance beam or whatever apparatus they're doing. And then the other girl does her floor routine with the loud music going, does a double tuck, whatever, sticks the landing, and the crowd goes crazy. And this girl's over here on like a, you know, the balance beam's about this wide.
Yeah.
How do they keep their concentration? You know, it's like football, you got 100,000 people screaming, but you're just running a football play. Yeah. You know, it's not that big a deal. I mean, do they like have loud music? What do they do at practice to prepare for this?
I mean, they do have those settings in practice. I think at an event like the Nationals, though, where it's four teams instead of just two, they've just been doing it so long, Shane. I mean that was a topic of conversation the press conference after Oklahoma won. One of their gymnasts, she was on the beam, I think, when Trinity pulled off her 10 or somebody, and they asked her, like, how do you stay focused in that moment? And she goes, you know, you're just so locked in. You know, it's like talking to Tony Gwynn or a great hitter in baseball. You know, you ask him, how you stay focused at the plate. They don't hear any of that. They don't see any of it. It's them. It's their pitcher. It's what their approach at the plate. And it's just one of those things that I think great athletes have an ability to do. Me, I would probably fall off that beam in a heartbeat, you know. But
it blows my mind how they do that. It's fascinating how they can stay locked in and that stuff doesn't bother them. But anyway, it was a tremendous year for them. Obviously, came up just a little bit short, kind of controversial, so to speak. But you got to give Oklahoma credit for bouncing back. Scott, I know you were out there. Baseball, we had some comments here. I mean, they're struggling. There's so many teams struggling in the SEC. We had a listener list the teams that have losing records in the SEC: Florida, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, maybe South Carolina. I can't remember. I mean, it's crazy how difficult this league is this year.
It's that it just continues to get better and deeper, and it's really become. It's almost like when you look at what Major League Baseball has done over the last decade. I think they probably look at the SEC as their strongest farm system now. That's how good the talent is in this league. So when you look at the talent come out in the season, and you're going to have a season like this where top to bottom, it's going to be hard to get wins. And the Gators story, Shane, has kind of been the same all season, unfortunately. I mean, they're scoring enough runs, but their pitching is just not consistent enough to hold on. You saw that in the first two games at Vanderbilt. They had leads. The bullpen couldn't hold. And then yesterday, got a great start, held on. It was important for them to get that win, snapped a rough week for them. And now, guess what? You know, they got Tennessee coming to town next week, and Tennessee is playing unbelievable. If there's one team in the SEC right now who is, the cream of the crop, I mean, Tennessee is number one. Obviously, they had some news over the weekend with Tony Vitelli bumping the ump, so he's not going to be available for the first two games here. He'll be available on Sunday in the final game of the series. So it's going to be an interesting weekend. And, I mean, that Tennessee team, the Gators don't like them. They don't like the Gators. You saw some of that in the trip up to Knoxville last year. So it's going to be an intense weekend, a good chance for the Gators to maybe right the ship here. But it's going to take them to get that bullpen. They're just going to have to be more consistent. They are what they are at this point, Shane. So I don't know what we can expect of them. You just hope some of those guys improve and continue to find some things and get back in the hump. But the SEC is wide open. The tournament's going to be, I think, crazy this year because, you know, so many teams, I think, will be competing for NCAA spots, you know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same with softball here in Gainesville when the SEC tournament rolls around.
Yeah.
At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Speaking with Scott Carter on the Titan MR Hotline, got a text here. It's an interesting text. So it comes from Bob. Bob says, Scott, I assume the gymnastics team took a charter for their meet. What is the difference flying on a gymnastics charter and a football charter?
a lot less people. Football charter, Shane, I mean, they're like over 200 people, you know, players, coaches, staff, equipment, and then some UAA personnel. Those are huge flights. gymnastics. I think they did have a charter. I actually didn't fly with them this time. They only had, I think, 30 seats, so it was pretty tight. So there was a group of us who flew commercial, and a team, you know, the athletes and stuff, flew charter. So I've been on one before. What's the main difference? I think less people and higher pitched voices on the gymnastics charter.
Well, football charter, you really don't hear anybody talking except the UAA personnel. Football players have their headphones on, and they're basically told, "Do not speak."
Yeah, it's pretty much a business trip for them. It's the same for the gymnastics. It's just they're. It is funny. You know, I tell my wife all the time, you know, the difference. Like one day you'll be at football, and then you'll walk over to the O-Dome and gymnastics, and the culture in the two sports could be more different. But it's kind of, it makes it interesting, you know. But I've come to, like you talked earlier, I've come to really respect what kind of athletes these people are. I mean, they are amazing athletes. And I've learned that gymnasts, by and large, are some of the most high achiever student athletes I've ever encountered. I mean, they're amazing with their time management. A lot of them go into really difficult careers. And then in between of all that, they're these amazing athletes and do these things. And it's fun to watch, man.
Yeah. The female sports or athletes are, I mean, you watch softball, they'll boot a play, strike out, sling one over the first baseman's head, and they're laughing and high-fiving. I mean, it's crazy. Before we let you go, Scott, John's got a good question here. I don't know if you know the answer to it, but it's going to be happening. John says, Scott, when do you think we will start to hear of football players transferring out of the program? Do you think it'll be this week?
There could be this week. There could be, you know, after the semester, you know, when they get their classes done and go ahead and put their name in the portal. I mean, there'll be some of that. There's going to be – I'm curious to see what kind of movement, not just to Florida. I would expect anywhere from, you know, I over-under for me is about five. I mean, I figured there could be four or five guys enter the portal and, we, you know, Florida could add maybe a few more because they have some extra spots, as Billy Napier talked about in the spring. So there'll definitely be, I would say, you know, maybe half a dozen new players on this team by the time fall rolls around, besides the incoming freshmen they signed. So it'll be interesting to see it. Again, this is just a new era of college sports. You know, you can call it whatever you want, the transfer portal era, kind of like free agency period. It's added a whole new wrinkle, Shane, and it gives us something else to talk about through the summer months, you know?
Yeah, so when does this – do you know the date when this semester ends? Is it before May 1st?
I think it's before May 1st.
Because, you know, May 1st is that crucial date where if you sign with a team, you're eligible to play this fall unless you have to go through the waiver process.
Yeah.
So
I'll have to, I don't have it in front of me, Shane, but it seemed like it's usually right that last week of April or so. And then the first.
Well, I know it's coming to an end because I had to do the paperwork for Trent Whittemore's internship that he did on our program. I just didn't know the date because I do think some kids are going to leave, and obviously we're going to be heavy in the portal as well to try to improve our football team. But in order for those kids to be able to play, I know that they got to sign by May 1st. So we'll see. All right, Scott, before we let you go, I know you – I don't think you were in town. Weren't you already out in Dallas for the spring game?
Yeah, my colleague Chris Harry was at the spring game. Is that what you're going to ask about? But obviously I followed it. I followed it closely. And
You listen to it? Did you listen to us on radio or would you watch
it? I did. I had a weird – I had a weird travel day on Thursday. I got to that meet right after the first rotation, the semifinals. So I was kind of scrambling, Shane. So I followed it mostly on Twitter, and I'm sure you did a great job.
We had to tell a bunch of stories. You know, those spring games, they kind of get boring at times. So we had some good storytelling, Mick up there.
Was there anything unique to it to you? I mean, you've been a part of so many of those as a player, as a media guy.
I basically said, I mean, I thought it's the best spring game that I could think of in recent memory. Really? But I thought the UAA football staff, whoever was in charge of just the whole operations of moving it to Thursday night, I thought it was outstanding. You know, Johnny Townsend had his tailgate there by Gator Walk with a bunch of former players for Shan's pediatric cancer research. I've never seen so many former players from different eras. It was outstanding. Oh, wow. And then I just thought the turnout from the recruits, how they actually split it up in two teams running out of different tunnels. However, at halftime, it was funny. Everybody tried to run back into the tunnel in the center of the field.
Same one.
They had to veer the orange team off, but I thought it was outstanding. I don't think it could have gone any better, quite honestly. And like I said, that was the best football that I've seen them have all spring long. Wow. Yeah, so that's a good sign. You got better as the spring went along. Now you just got to build on it over the summer. So we'll see. It should be fun here in the next couple of weeks with see what happens in the transfer portal. Scott, we appreciate you taking time. I know you've been a very busy man, and we appreciate it.
All right, Shane. Appreciate it, buddy.
Scott Carter joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. Going to take our final timeout, come back, and wrap up this Monday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, non-surgical regeneration, live pain-free. South State Bank, Celebration Point Town Center, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Wrap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Silverback Concrete Company. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. At South State Bank, we understand that small businesses need a community business partner they can rely on. South State has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking for member FDIC. I want to thank JC and Scott Carter joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. Andy asked here on Facebook Live, since Billy has retired the interception chain, do you think there will be any Samford-like locker room celebrations for anything except an SEC or national title? That's a good question. I don't know how Billy's – I mean, look, anytime you win a game, it's important. You only play 12. You're guaranteed 12 games. If you win it, you should celebrate it regardless of who the opponent is. So we'll see. I don't know what Billy's – how his system works when it comes to that, but I know they put so much hard work into trying to win football games, they will definitely celebrate them in some capacity. This Day in Sports brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring team members with all levels of experience, even a $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. This Day in Sports in 1998, the NFL draft. Tennessee quarterback Peyton Manning is the first overall pick by the Indianapolis Colts. And he went on to have a pretty good career. Old Peyton never beat old Coach Spurrier as a Gator. I mean, when he was with the Vols or when he was in the pros. So, anyway, hope you enjoy today's program. Have a good day out there, folks. And make sure you tune in. Tell all your friends and family to tune in tomorrow. Appreciate you chiming in. Have a great day.